broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're radio for patriots by patriots. We welcome you to our program here, and we also invite you to join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD, as a matter of fact. Hey, bud, where is it?
What?
Where's our title, man? Where's the... Wow, man. We lost our Phil TV title. I don't know what happened there, but I see. In any event...
What happened?
Well, we usually have a little Phil TV graphic there, and it went away, but now it's back. Okay, so...
Where is it?
I fixed it already, okay?
Here, let me fix it.
You get away from there.
You already fixed it, man.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and as I said, we're on... live streaming video right now, as well as all of our great affiliates across the country, and like that. 877-877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of things that we're going to deal with this evening. One of them is a vote that just was taken, I believe, in New York City, in the state of New York, not New York City, but in the state of New York, having to do with gay marriage. It is passed in New York. We're going to talk about that with Doug Danger. In just a moment, then Chris Norton joins us. Chris Norton from Norton Splodes and the issue of a website devoted to what he calls the M&M MILFs, double M MILFs, murdering mothers, I'd like to blank. And the entire issue around that regarding Casey Anthony. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KPRC in Houston. And WZFG Fargo, North Dakota, two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, New York lawmakers narrowly voted to legalize same-sex marriage on Friday, handing activists a breakthrough victory in the state where the gay rights movement was born. New York's the nation's third most populous state, joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., in legally recognizing gay marriage. Gay rights advocates are hoping the vote will galvanize the movement around the country and help it regain momentum after an almost identical bill was defeated in New York in 2009 and similar measures failed in 2010 in New Jersey and this year in Maryland and in Rhode Island. A bill like that, of course, passed in the state of California and then was automatically, not automatically, but was immediately challenged by referendum voted on by the people of the state of California, making it unconstitutional. And that rolled that back and became a target of a great many court challenges. No unaid is still being challenged in the state of California, and it's anybody's guess at this particular time. A huge street party erupted, by the way, outside of the Stonewall Inn on Friday. That was where the initial, if you will, gay rights challenge to authority took place, the Stonewall Riots in the summer of 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York. Doug Danger joins us. Doug, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and how are you feeling tonight?
Well, I think it's the beginning, Phil, and I think, as I've said on your program before, we've got a lot of work to do before we are able to push this rock over the top of the hill. New York is a big moment for gay people in this country. California would have been a big moment, but California backed off. California lost its nerve. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and one of the things that I find that I pride myself in is being able to see who's got it, who doesn't, who can stand there and test the winds, the storms of time, if you will, and who is going to hide from the from these winds of change. New York did not hide. New York took on the challenge. New York passed it. California folded like a, you know, to put it in the axiom of the old joke, folded up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. It was a disgrace, but New York has given us hope again, Phil, but we're going to need a little bit more. We're going to need a face. We're going to need a galvanizing point around which gay people around this country can rally.
All right. Well, here is New York State Senate. The New York State Senate stood on the right side of history, said Queens teacher Eugene Lovendusky, who is gay and said he hopes to marry someday. He repeated a chant he'd screamed during a protest at the Obama fundraiser, "I'm somebody, I deserve full equality." Cindy Lauper said, quote, "I've never been prouder to be a lifelong New Yorker than I am today with the passage of marriage equality." Cindy Lauper, the singer. A number of celebrities also praised the Senate vote. Lady Gaga tweeted that she couldn't stop crying, while Pink tweeted, "Congratulations, about time."
These are all, I think, great accolades coming from people who worked very, very hard, Phil. But I got together with Jim Rifko and a couple of other writers here on the West Coast. We feel that while the Cindy Laupers of the world, the Lady Gagas of the world, and so on and so forth are good, we need a galvanizing image, and we need a galvanizing image that is going to be rock solid, that isn't going to go anywhere. We are very saddened, as you are, Phil, as many people are, to note the passing of the great, great star, Peter Falk.
Yes, yes, the Columbo.
Well, Columbo was just one of many things that Peter Falk did. Peter Falk was in Murder Incorporated. Peter Falk was in Pocket Full of Miracles. Peter Falk he had two Oscar nominations. He collected five Emmy Awards. Very, very thoughtful man. He also, later on in life, was a part of the John Cassavetes, franchise.
The John Cassavetes is considered to be the father of independent film.
Yes, he was in Shadows. He was in Husbands. And a Woman Under the Influence. So Peter Falk was very close with John Cassavetes. And he also did comedy. It's The Mad, Mad, Mad World. Peter Falk is the perfect person, I think, to use as a symbol of the fight for gay rights.
And was he gay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. Peter Falk was straight. But Peter Falk has now passed on. He has, if you will, he's fought his good fight. So Peter Falk is no more. And we can use Peter Falk's image, the name, and of course this body of great work that he did as a great artist, as a great actor, and as a man that was fearless in his own life, to push forward the gay message that we want gay equality. And
well, wait, I'm a little bit confused. You would use Peter Falk. He's not gay, okay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. He was married. But he is now passed on. So you could, my feeling, talking to Jim Rifko and a few of the others, my feeling is you can reconstruct or repurpose Peter Falk's life in this sense that he is now a gay actor and he is now the symbol of the gay movement.
And first of all, how do you do that without his family's consent?
Well, his family, I think, first of all, Phil, Peter Falk was very liberal. Peter Falk was very much a liberal artist. I don't see his family having a problem with that. But more to the point, even if they did, there is nothing illegal about being gay. So if we said that Peter Falk is gay, you're not going to sue me, because that's like saying Phil Hendry has brown eyes. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, you've got blue eyes.
Yes.
Well, it's not suable. It's not actionable. I haven't really hurt you by saying that you have brown eyes.
Yeah, but you could hurt Peter Falk. And
how can I hurt Peter Falk by saying he is something that is legal? If I said that he is something that is legal, gay, I can't hurt him. By definition, I can't hurt him. So,
all right, but would you attempt to get the family's approval?
Well, here's my thinking. Certainly we would want the family to sign off on this, but that's not really the point. The point is Peter Falk is known to his friends and to his family as a straight man, but we would use Peter Falk as a gay man and a gay actor who fought tenaciously for gay rights, who as a gay was kept out of, and not as much as other gays were kept out of other professions because it was the acting profession. And it was already, in the words of so many that were opposed to us, it was already infested and crawling with gays. But to be a gay man and a gay actor, you'd never know it. You felt as alone as ever. I mean, the journalist business was probably crawling with gays. It was probably just, it stunk with gays. But I never knew it when I first got in because I felt I was the only gay, oh man, did I feel. I thought I was the only, excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but I felt I was the only queer writer within thousands of miles.
And so there was no real contact between gay writers. There's no real contact between gay actors at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
All right, I understand that, but I'm still wondering how you can take Peter Falk, who just passed on, who is beloved, his character Columbo, if nothing else, was so brilliantly done, like Leonard Nimoy's Spock, like our good friend William Shatner's Captain Kirk, like Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, like Bela Lugosi playing Dracula. There are actors who so fully create a character and so bring it to life so brilliantly that we never think of them as anything else. And that was Peter Falk.
Well, that was Peter Falk, exactly, Phil. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that Peter Falk has more work to do. Peter Falk is gay. He's a homosexual. He's not alive anymore, but when he lived, he was a homosexual actor. And he was a struggling homosexual, and really, I think, gave us so much to fight for through his leadership. Now,
yeah, but none of that's true.
I understand that none of it's true, but that's what we need to do now with Peter Falk, now that he is passed on. We take his image, we take his name, we thank his family very much, thank you very much, and we take it and we say, we take his image and we take his name and we put him up on that big billboard in Times Square and we say, Peter Falk, queer. And what are we doing? We're using him now.
People are going to be very angry. You can say what you want about the homophobia of this country. There, not everybody that is uncomfortable with what you're doing is a full-on homophobe. They might want gay marriage. They may be in favor of every kind of equality that you could possibly give to a gay person, but they may be very, very upset or put out with you taking Peter Falk's name and attaching to it, he was a homosexual.
We need a strong... You got to understand something, Phil. This is not something that... I don't think you understand. We need a strong leader. We need a strong image. We need a strong symbol to gather around. We don't have Harvey Milk anymore, okay? We don't have some of the great leaders anymore. All we can do now is take a big name, someone who doesn't need that name anymore, Peter Falk, and repurpose Peter Falk as gay. Repurpose Peter Falk as a homosexual who struggled all of his life and overcame those odds, and
repurpose.
Will you listen to me? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And the things that I know and the things that I've seen would make you and many of your listeners vomit. All right, Phil?
I understand that, Doug.
Just hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the things that I've had to go through, the things that I've seen, the discrimination I've faced, the brutality that I've seen against my community and against me personally, if you or any of your audience had to experience that, they would never stop throwing up. Okay? Peter Falk now belongs to the gay community.
And why is that?
Because, all right, I'll give you an answer. Because I said so. How does that...
Well, that's not how it works, okay? The guy has a name.
I know the guy has a name. I understand that he has a name. I'm not asking him to sell potato chips. I'm not asking Peter Falk to sell razor blades. I'm not asking Peter Falk to promote a political candidate. I'm asking Peter Falk, and I'm not even asking Peter Falk because he's dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling Peter Falk that from this point forward, we need him as the image of the gay community.
All right, how does this work out then? Peter Falk, a homosexual, wants us to...
Yes, Peter Falk, a gay actor, a gay man and a gay actor, wants us to pass gay marriage in this country. Peter Falk fought for this all of his life. Peter,
these are lies, Doug. These are lies. They are...
No, they are not lies. Why do you say they're lies?
Peter Falk never did that.
So in other words, you're saying he was against human rights.
No, he was not against human rights. What I knew of Peter Falk, he was not against human rights, of course. But he never... You don't know what he did.
And you don't know what he did. And to say that Peter Falk fought against discrimination, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. To say that Peter Falk was a homosexual who wanted equality in acting, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
How is that not a bad... Why is that a good thing?
Is it bad?
It's not true. It's not true.
Is it bad?
Is it bad to say that Peter Falk was a homosexual? In the minds of...
In your opinion, in your eyes, is that bad? But watch how you answer this. Watch it, man, because you could rip the lid right off of your egalitarian persona, Phil.
I would say that saying something about a man that isn't true is bad.
Boy, do you hate queer.
Hold on for a minute. I had to put him on hold there. I apologize, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Doug Danger and others want to use Peter Falk as the new symbol of the gay community. He's dead. He passed on. He's no longer with us. He wouldn't mind being used as a symbol of the equality of gay people. And as Doug said, they want to, quote, repurpose Peter Falk's life so that he was a gay actor seeking equal rights, and he becomes the new symbol of the gay community. Is this fair? Even if it's not anything necessarily negative, can you do that with a man's name because he happens to be famous? 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the world-famous, and you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, you can't believe what? We have Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. He's a writer, a gay man, and gay journalist, and the vote is in New York. The New York State Legislature has approved a bill that would legalize gay marriage. Now, who knows if they're in store for a constitutional challenge or a referendum challenge or something like that, Doug, but for now, it is for people who support the equal rights of gay people, it's good news.
Right. And Phil, I would say to your audience, you have always been one who claimed to support gay rights. And yet tonight you're giving me an argument.
And well, the argument I'm giving you is that you want to use Peter Falk as the face of gay rights in this country. And
I want to use a man who was a great artist, a great actor, a man who was, I think, well known as a liberal and a person who supported artistic rights and human rights. Yes, and say Peter Falk was gay. He had a gay lover. We can talk of any number of actors who'd be good that we are auditioning right now who can play the part of this gay, of a gay that he lived with. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been down a road that would make you vomit.
I already know your credentials of having been down the road and things are really rough. I know that, Doug.
Well, don't minimize it by telling me I don't know what I'm talking about.
And I don't. When it comes to your life, you know everything. When it comes to Peter Falk's life, I'm just saying I don't know that you can just automatically say, okay, great, Peter Falk's dead. Now we'll use him as a symbol of gay rights.
Well, anybody who is a hardcore fan of Peter Falk knows that he's not gay. Anyone who's a fan of Peter Falk will know, will think he was gay, but it won't matter.
And hardcore fan as opposed to a regular fan.
Exactly.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. We have David. You're on The Phil Hendry Show. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm personally offended that this man would say something derogatory about Peter Falk.
That's not derogatory. There's nothing derogatory about a legal... No, it's not. It's a legal state. Being gay is legal. Can't be derogatory.
You can make up anything about anybody that's passed away, then. Why don't you
Can't. It's not only... No, you can't say that the guy was a child molester. That's illegal. Can't say he was a murderer. But I could say someone's a heterosexual. I could say someone's gay. I could say somebody had blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? The point that I'm saying is this. Don't you feel you need to just get someone's...
No, I wouldn't want to lie about it. I wouldn't use you, David, with all due respect, because nobody knows who you are. But I would use Peter Falk because people know him.
Well, that's glad. You know, some of us that... Maybe he was... Your role model should be Rock Hudson. Look what happened to him.
Rock Hudson? I'm not familiar with him.
He was an actor. He died of AIDS.
All right. So he died. All the better. I can't use him. I would rather use Peter Falk.
Well, this guy's saying something very intelligent. Why not use a gay man?
told me that no gays have died lately. And by the way, who says Peter Falk wasn't gay? Do you know that for a fact, David? No.
I know that he was married. Of course he was straight.
There's a lot of gay guys that are married. Are you crazy? Come on, man. Wake up. Wake up, son.
All right, now, I don't want anything said on this show that you know for a fact Peter Falk was gay. Do you understand that?
Whoa, wait a minute, Sunshine.
No, don't call me Sunshine. Whether the man was or wasn't, we can sit here and talk about how you use that, but I don't want you saying you know for a fact. We'll be back with Phil Doug Danger, Henry. Phil Hendry. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're broadcasting from the El Pacifico. In the background here on Phil TV, though, is the Earth Cam from Hollywood Boulevard. Seems like a regular night as the summer begins here out on the West Coast. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, talking about the vote in New York State today to legalize gay marriage. It is a very big moment. And I do congratulate the people that worked so hard, all gay people in New York and across the country, Doug.
Well, you know, that sounds real nice, Phil, but when you talk to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Well, you know, your irritation at the fact that I'm gay...
I'm not irritated that you're gay. I'm talking to you about Peter Falk, the man who passed on yesterday from Alzheimer's, 83 years of age... An accomplished man. He had one hell of a career as an actor, and you've decided that you want to take his name and his image and turn him gay.
Right, and you're trying to say, you and other straights, don't make him into a gay. You're basically making him into some kind of a crawling animal. Okay? I got news for you, Phil.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're saying something that isn't true.
I'm saying something that is... It transcends truth. Peter Falk is strong. He's gay. All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's gay. So,
well, you can't just say that.
I'm saying it. Peter Falk is gay.
All right, I know he's not because I was a fan of his.
You're a super fan. I understand that. Most people were not. And if I say, you know, Peter Falk, the guy that was Columbo, and they go, yeah. Excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but as queer as a $3 bill. And they will...
And you're going to get an actor to play his lover, and you're going to construct a whole phony life just so you can promote gay rights.
It is to promote equal rights and civil rights. I'm shocked, I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Bob in Atlanta on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Bob, you're on with Doug Danger.
Hey, man, hey, Phil. My first time listening. I like your
Thank you.
Like show, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. All right, you talk about Doug. You there, bud?
Bun?
You
yeah,
there?
I'm here. Well, and this isn't the first time, and this is not the first time you listen to the show either. Go ahead.
No, it really is. But check it out, man.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're awfully...
Are you gay? Let me ask you, are you gay?
I'm not, no. But listen, okay, you say that you want to
reach out to this
guy now that he's dead. All right, you can't just repurpose the guy's legacy that he's left behind. You know, you can't just tell a lie about who he was and that.
Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Kevin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. My biggest issue
yes, sir.
Is this. I've been in a journalism business for 20 years now, okay, up here in the Northeast, and you can't, and Doug, I know you're listening to me, you can't call yourself a journalist and throw out things that you are admitting you know are wrong and are lies just to advance an agenda. That's not...
Well, I don't know that you're a journalist. I don't know you're a journalist. I don't know that you're a journalist, and I don't take advice from anonymous people to call talk shows. All right? I know what I do. I know what I do, and I know how I back up what I do. You can't tell me how to write, you know? I'm in the business, and there's number one... My number one competition is you. I don't need your advice or how you might write a story so that you don't get the job. I get the job. And I get the job because I go about doing these things, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay?
That's all well and good. Sure.
You know that? All right, good. So I get the job done,
well,
especially when it comes to a topic
seconds,
like this.
So you've said it every 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you don't
know it.
But see, okay, I'm out there doing it. I'm out there getting the story.
Life and legacy. I don't
That's
care.
Right.
First of all, I applaud New York State, and I'm from Massachusetts. First ones in the country to pass this law, and proud of it. You don't know if I'm gay or straight, and I'm not going to tell you
whatever.
I'm gay or straight. It doesn't matter. What matters is
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Congratulations.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Okay,
here's
but what I'm saying is this. I know what I'm talking about, see? You don't.
No, that's not. That You can't say that, Doug. You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
You don't know me.
You're both writers. You're both journalists. You're both men who go and look for the story.
The job of a journalist is to find the truth in the story.
Okay,
and
fine. But do you say.
And you're admitting to telling a lie.
No, I'm not. Am I on the radio right now telling you that Peter Falk, we're going to make him gay? Is that telling a lie, or is that telling you a strategy?
And then when Phil
is
asks...
Is that telling you a lie, or is that telling you a strategy? I'm telling you a strategy.
Well, I don't know.
Him as queer
I don't know
as
exactly
a
what he was. I mean, we think he was straight, but we don't know that. But here's the thing. Phil says to you...
Oh, no, now we don't know.
Well, we don't know. We don't... I wasn't
Let me ask you something. If you
know.
Died... Let me ask you something, Kevin. If you died, and
because
I said, now
know.
We're going to make Kevin head of the gay community. Kevin is now gay. What does that really hurt?
You know what? That may hurt a lot of people. It may hurt a little boy.
Uh-huh. So now you're saying being gay is negative.
No, I'm not. I'm telling
no,
you right now,
not
Doug, legal or not, it could hurt people.
Well, now I've heard it all. So all you guys, you and Kevin and everybody, being gay is fine. I'm for equal rights, but let's face it, being gay is bad. That's what you're saying.
No. Being gay is fine, but going out and picking somebody that you want to, anybody in the community, any star that you want to, and just saying that they are to advance your agenda, that's not journalism, and it's not right.
Why not? Well, I didn't say I was being a journalist. I said I was being an activist.
Well, which are you, a journalist
or an
activist?
You can't be both. You keep saying
I'm a gay man,
and I'm going to use this guy. Here you go. Say it again.
Wait a minute. I can't be both? Are you kidding me? I can't be both? What do you call Hunter Thompson? You don't think Hunter Thompson's an activist? You don't think that Norman Mailer? You don't think that Truman Capote?
Those guys weren't journalists in the sense that you guys are.
Hey, excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind. I'm talking to a fellow journalist, so if you could shut up.
If I can, I'm not going to shut up.
Phil, are you not a journalist?
I'm a talk show host, I would say.
He's not a journalist. He's a professional performer. He's a SEAL. A trained SEAL.
I'll tell you what, Doug. You've crossed that line and become quite a performer tonight yourself, because what you're telling us is that you're putting out there this whole agenda, and you're telling us that we have to get behind it or else we are anti-gay. And you know what? That's not true. I'm not anti-gay. I'm very proud of Massachusetts. I'm proud of New York State tonight. And here you are telling me that you're going to take somebody who has no say in the matter just because they died, and now you can use them, and you're going to advance your agenda with that. And then right after you say that, 10 seconds later, you're going to say, I'm a gay man and I'm a journalist.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm also a gay activist. I'm also somebody who knows when America is way behind the clock. We're way behind the ball on civil rights. Let's face it. We were way behind the ball on civil rights with black people. Now we're supposed to stand around and wait because Kevin wants to make sure that my credentials are in order. You want
to
make sure my papers are in order.
Just
like the guy with that funny-looking helmet and those lightning bolts on his collar.
You're looking at a dead actor and throwing them in my face and saying, you know, you've got to find this guy was a strong man and he was gay, even though we don't know that for a fact. And you're telling me that I have to find the agenda or else I'm anti-gay.
Wait a minute, I'm sitting him on your face. So, see, that's you using a scurrilous anti-gay. And
he didn't say sitting him on your face.
I didn't say sitting.
Whoa, my friend.
Sitting.
I heard you say you want to stick it in my face or something like that.
No, he did not. He said he was talking. He said as in your face, like in your face.
Yeah, like unzip him and shove him in your face.
No, he didn't say that.
No innuendo at all. What are you?
Well, you see,
about?
Because what you're doing is you're saying you're for gay rights and you're for equal rights. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Peter Falk. And by the way, here's a little queer joke for you. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not. I listen to what the man said. I think what we have here, Doug, and by the way, this has been a very spirited exchange between the two of you.
What's that supposed to mean? Like this guy's saying something? I'm a gay man and a gay activist. All right.
Oh, all of a sudden you're not a journalist.
Oh, and I
Peter Falk. Peter Falk is gay, all right? And Peter Falk is going to be gay until such time as America remembers what its obligation is to people, all people, and that's equal rights. And until we have equal rights, guess what? Peter Falk put Peter Falk in a brassiere.
Wow.
And what's Kevin going to do?
Boy, I'll tell you. And you had hurt his family.
Oh, boy, Henry, you are... You're really showing your true colors. So if I got Peter Falk in a pair of panties, a brassiere, and a flimsy burnous, you'd say what?
Unless that's not a Photoshop picture, if that's a real picture of his life and what he did, then you are definitely doing something wrong, in my opinion. You can't do that to people.
You guys
being gay is fine and dandy, but now you're taking a guy. I mean, I have gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties. Are you kidding me?
You got gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties in front of you. Okay?
Is that equal? I mean,
if I want to take Peter.
No, you're talking about.
Well, get a load of you now. Now, see, all of a sudden. Men. Well, you're straight. You're straight, right? Do you let your wife work you with a.
All right, hold on. I'm going to let you go, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Very, very good exchange, and I think you made some very good points. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I had to dump that, Doug.
Oh, you had to dump that? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? The roads that I've come down...
I know, would make me throw up.
That's right. Make you throw up. It would have made Kevin break down and cry. Now, Peter Falk, I know Peter Falk was straight. I'm not saying that Peter Falk wasn't straight. But for the purposes of the gay community and fighting for the rights so that we are married and gay and all of that stuff, I don't personally give a damn because, as you know, Phil, on your program the other night, I said I was against gay marriage. Because I don't want straights to see that we're better at it than them, and then they turn around, and we've got a civil war at our hands. But if gay people in this country are dead set on getting gay rights and getting a gay marriage, okay, fine. Here's my idea. Take Peter Falk, his image, his name, his movies, everything, and put him to work. Take one of the tough guy actors of all time and make him a sissy. If it will help gay rights.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You just don't care. It sounds to me like you don't care. It sounds to me like you are essentially what you're saying is take Peter Falk, even if it means using this guy in any which way, no matter who is hurt.
Boy, you're just blah, 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 right? You know?
No, I'm getting to a point.
No, you're not. You started talking and that.
You know something, Doug? I got things to say, too, okay?
Well, then say it. You're like, well, the thing of the da-da-da-da. If I didn't know better, you're sitting there looking for a call.
I got calls.
I know, but you can't put it on the air because the guy was still screening it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lewis in Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Lewis? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know who this Doug is. I just happened to be going through the radio stations and came up with it. I'm
Doug Danger, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm just a normal gay man, and I just have an opinion. After I pass away, I don't want somebody calling me straight. It's not like it's an insult. It's just not who I was. And he wasn't. If you want an icon, pick a gay icon. There are plenty of actors that were. You want a rock solid icon? Pick Rock Hudson. But don't call somebody signs or not after they pass away.
No good. Rock Hudson's AIDS. No good. No good.
I'm sorry.
We can't use
it. That's the way it goes. That's the roll of the dice, Doug. You know, some do, some don't. I mean, it happens. Pick somebody else.
We got to use a guy that right now has got the zeitgeist. You know, we got to use a guy that right now has got the heat. Peter Falk's the guy. We make him gay for a few months.
But it is a lie. I mean, he wasn't gay. Why say that?
Let me ask you a question. What's the difference, really, between a gay and a straight? Other than sexual orientation? Nothing.
Probably about it. But that's a pretty big difference, I think.
Well, hold on. But you can't see that the way a man walks down the street. You can't see that in the eyes of a man. If I put Peter Falk out there and I go, see Peter Falk, Columbo, you know him? Yeah. Well, guess what? Gay. All right? Now people look at him and go, wow, Peter Falk was gay? Let's legalize gay marriage.
Are you kidding me? What makes you think that it's going to be that easy?
Excuse me, I'm talking to another gay man.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
Because it isn't true. It just is.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? And a gay activist.
Let me tell you, hold it, Doug. I want to tell you something. Really, I'm not into an exchange. This is a statement, okay? Let me speak. You are delusional, all right? You have already said you're a gay man, a gay journalist, about 15 times in the past 4 minutes, even with the other call. Good for you. Get over it. It's not only who you are. You know, sometimes I think you forget the other things you are because you're so obsessed with that.
I happen to, I know what I am. I know that I am the son
of Jim. That's right, but not
of Jim. I know I'm the son of Jim and Ellen Danger. I know who I am. I know my family. But as a gay man and as a gay journalist and as a gay activist, all right, I'm gay. You know that. And you know that, right?
Are you kidding?
You know, sir, Mr. Henry, you know, peel a straight person deep enough, you find a homophobe every time.
And that's me, huh?
I disagree with that. I absolutely disagree with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
That's the
you
whole
know what,
show.
Doug? You better find yourself new friends, honestly, because you've been misled. You think you have to proclaim who you are by your sexuality only to get some kind of respect. And honestly, it's a dog and pony show. That's what it seems like to me. You're putting
when
on.
When I'm out there in the straight world, and I got to muscle my way to get my piece of the trough, I got to tell them I'm gay. Now, what do you think of me? And if they look at me cross-eyed, you know.
Yeah. I'm out there in the straight world every day, and I get my piece of the trough, and I don't have to proclaim that. I don't proclaim that to anybody. There's sometimes I want to say it, and sometimes I don't. But I don't have to say that to get what's coming to me. All I have to be is a human being. It's as simple as that.
Let me give you an example. I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day, okay? And I said to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a pack of Marlboros. Now, what do you think he did? He gives me the eye roll, like I'm some kind of a weird ass. That's what I'm talking
about. I'm giving you the eye roll.
What is so funny, Mr. Straight?
Are you kidding me? You walked into a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you said, I'd like a pack of Marlboros. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to roll his eyeballs at you.
Yeah, well, guess what? He ain't going to be doing that much longer, because I grabbed him by the shirt and pinned him up against the cash register, and I said, I bet you think I'm a sissy. You want to test that thesis? He didn't want any part of it. Okay?
Well, you know what?
I'm fighting that fight.
Whoa, I have something to say in here, Doug. You're very insecure. You know, you're coming across very insecure. what's
something,
the problem?
Phil? Lewis, you got a straight guy now, and you're ganging up on a fellow gay. On one of your fellow... gay, no.
Okay. I gotta, you know.
Oh, yeah, ha, ha, ha. Okay, I hope you guys, boy.
But, Doug, come on, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'd like a pack of Marlboros.
And the kid rolls his eyes at me? Mr. Homophobe.
I would have rolled my eyes at you, too. That's absolutely ridiculous to proclaim that in the store. I'll tell you what, they chatted about you after you left.
All right, listen, Lewis, thank you for your call. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break. I apologize, Doug. I know he's going to be angry at me for just putting him on hold. We will be back as Doug Danger continues to insist that Peter Falk has passed on. What better person to use now as a symbol of the gay community? Peter Falk. He's now gay, had a lover. Doug has a whole, if you'll pardon the expression, backstory. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And Clarence Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. All right, on the line is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the vote for gay marriage in New York State tonight, which approved gay marriage in New York State. And there has been a celebration there in the gay community, as there has been across the country. And I have been a supporter of the equal rights of gay people for as long as the debate's been going on. So I can tell you that myself, I'm very happy. And I would hope, Doug, that you would take that in the spirit that it's intended and not look suspiciously at me like I'm some kind of a straight guy who's trying to, get in on the coattails of something else.
Well, I mean, the thing that bothers me, Fillmore, I know that you're a fair-minded man, but I just said to you that we can use Clarence Clemens as a homosexual. And
okay, I mean, how many guys do you need?
That's what you said to me off air. So, see, now you're really bothered by it because I'm using a black guy. It's not because he's black. It's because he's got a very visible image. He was a very strong, powerful image. Clarence Clemens and Peter Falk, two homosexuals that...
You can't... boy.
Yeah. There. See? See?
See what?
It bothers you that I'm using Clarence Clemens. Why is that?
Doug, it's the cumulative effect of you using Peter Falk, now Clarence Clemens. You could say, I'll tell you who else just died. James Arness. How about that?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. No one... James Arness is only known by old people. You wouldn't have used that. You, in fact, you would have used James Arness. You'd say, well, that's okay, because no one knows who he is.
Peter Falk, it was also known by an older generation of people. And yet, and still, I say, it is his image, his name. Now you want to pile on with Clarence Clemens in an effort to somehow give the gay community a visible face, a powerful image to follow behind. Here is Chris in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I just wanted to...
Hi.
I wanted to ask your guest, why exactly he thinks we need this new gay icon?
Well, I think we need to push this over the top. I think we've had the fight in California. It has scared a lot of people. I think this fight still could loom in New York State because who knows what they've got, you know, planning. And I think not only do we need Peter Falk, we do need Clarence Clemens. What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous. No,
Clarence Clemens?
You're saying that after all the fight and after all the progress that the gay community has made, you're saying now what we need is a gay
Phil. Yeah, we do. No, we need a gay Clarence Clemens. That's what we need.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch right here. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't.
Yeah, truth our bitch right up here.
Right up here.
They're supposed to be right up in here. I'm black. I'm black and I'm making up as I go along, all right? And enough.
All right, will you shut up, both of you guys, so I can get into 1 hour without you guys arguing? Just one. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour coming up next. And just a word to the wise and a word to the devoted and a word to the wonderful. This is our last show before we go on vacation next week to Toronto, Canada, where I will meet up with long-lost relatives. I'll be doing a video, I'll be doing a daily diary. What do I want to call that?
Like a web diary.
I'll be doing a web diary on my website, philhendryshow.com. It'll be a travel diary that you'll see right there in our news feed each and every day, and I'll be updating it with pictures as well as stories. So, and when I get back, I'll let you guys know all about it. And of course, we have the 4th of July weekend. Now, here's the thing. They got Canada Day coming. Well, I'll tell you about it next hour. First off, we have Chris Norton with us. Mr. Norton is a pharmaceutical telemarketer and is also involved in a production company that produces adult entertainment. It is a production company that he owns himself called Norton Explodes, and Mr. Chris Norton is joining us right now. Before we talk about anything, Chris, let me just read this story to our audience. Second bombshell from Casey Anthony's mom. Ladder was left outside the pool. Casey Anthony's mother made another startling revelation on the witness stand today that the defense hoped strengthened their case. A ladder had been left leaning out of the pool on the day defense attorneys say the granddaughter, Kaylee Anthony, died. For the second day in a row, the defense called Cindy Anthony to testify. Her daughter, Casey, faces multiple charges, including capital murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and misleading law enforcement in the death of her daughter, two-year-old Kaylee. Defense attorney Jose Baez guided Cindy Anthony through her testimony, working hard to bolster the argument that Kaylee had drowned and was not murdered, as prosecutors contend. Baez first mentioned the drowning during opening statements. An awful lot going on in this trial, Chris, and you have a website, and I just to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if we're all ready for, you know, these websites, these MILF websites that are coming out.
Well, I guess in a lot of ways I understand how you feel, Mr. Henry. I'm not here to offend anybody. I mean, my whole purpose in starting Double M Milf was to simply draw attention to what everybody else is talking about, and that is the fact that Casey Anthony is a very beautiful young woman, and quite obviously there are a lot of guys that are blogging about her, a lot of guys who are, you know, been talking about her, and she is very hot. She's very sexy. She's obviously the way she carries herself into the courtroom. She does so with a very sensual way. And Double M Milf is the website that we're hoping will eventually gain enough traction in terms of advertisers. Trying to a little bit nervous here.
Go ahead. You're doing fine.
I'm usually not nervous at all because of my time in front of the camera and doing other things in entertainment business. Talk radio is something I think a lot of people understand can draw a lot of negative things out of people. So advertiser was the word I was looking for. And we're hoping to get advertiser for it.
All right, Chris, that's fine. But essentially what you're saying is that this website, M&M Milf, is that what it's called?
M&M Milf, yeah. I'm called the Double M or M&M Milf, right.
M&M Milf, meaning there's two M's, murdering mothers I'd like to F.
That is correct, right. I mean, I can't, not going to say the word, right?
No, you don't say the word. All right, now, what is the purpose of this website?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious to anybody my age. I'm 28 years old. I'm very socially active. I'm active not only socially, I'm also active in a professional life where I am involved in adult entertainment and have done, you know, a couple of adult films. Most of what I'm really interested in doing is to produce adult film. The other thing is that I myself am... I'm fortunate. I was born very handsome. I'm very good looking, and I do have a lot of sexual energy. My interest is to get a boat going of who people would like to see me in an adult film with, and that's just sort of a side thing.
Were you hoping to film an adult film with Casey Anthony?
Well, I could if I wanted to. I mean, I'm just trying to find out if people would like to see her in an adult film or not. You know.
Well, when you say you could, what do you mean?
Well, I don't doubt I could go to Orlando and probably cut some kind of a deal with her right now for her to be in an adult film with me, and you know, for people to enjoy her sexuality. I mean, I think she's very sexy, and I have, you know, I'm sure she would enjoy me, but.
All right, so Chris, I was told by David G. Hall that your business, which is this website business, is looking for advertisers.
Exactly. We're looking for ads, we're also looking for places to advertise. I think Casey Anthony is not yet guilty, and so therefore you can't really judge her. And because she's not yet guilty and you can't really judge her, I think the only thing you can judge is how sexy she is. She's very tasty. She's got a nice body. She's got a nice face. More than that, she's got a pretty good face. You know, I mean, I can tell you, Mr. Henry, in my business where I'm judging women whether they're going to make it onto a Double M Milf or into Norton's Sport movies, there are a lot of women out there that just don't have it, you know, and you go through picture after picture after picture. They don't have a sex, they don't have a sexuality, they don't have a sex appeal. And you're throwing just boxes of pictures out every day until finally you come to one, and there she is.
And she's on trial for murdering her daughter.
And she's on trial for murdering her daughter, yeah. So that's why I decided, well, why don't we start this website? And what we would like to do, and I hope, you know, that Mr. Hall would be, you know, manable about it. I would like to advertise on your program. I would like to buy airtime, maybe in the final hour of your show, for our website.
I would be against that, sir.
Well, why would you be? First of all, let me lay out.
I would be against that, and I'll tell you why I would be against having you advertise on my show. I would be against it because I don't think there's anything the least bit amusing or funny.
Well, it's not supposed to be funny, Mr. Henry. It's not supposed to be funny. She's hot. Casey Anthony's hot. And if you don't see that,
Well, she's attractive. There's no question, okay? I mean, quite frankly, I've seen enough of that puss of hers where I could, if I were of a younger age, I would probably pass because she looks like with that kisser, that mouth of hers and that sourpuss look, after a while, you know, I don't know, man. She looks like a robot to me, okay?
Well, that's just because, Mr. Renner, trust me when I tell you, I've been in a lot of adult films. I have, excuse me for saying, I've slept with a lot of women, okay?
All right, you've slept with a lot of women, okay? And that means what? That means that when I see Casey Anthony, I don't know what I'm looking at, and you do?
With all due respect, yes, sir.
Because how do you figure that?
Because how do I figure that? I mean, all you have to do is look at her. She's hot, you know? She's got a great... I mean, I don't know how about...
Go ahead.
She has a great pair. She, her butt's, you know, she's got a great butt, you know? And I have been with some of the hottest adult models that you could possibly... I mean, I'm just going to come right out and say it. I've been with some of the hottest women you could possibly ever know about. Okay? And I'll tell you right now, Casey Anthony is hot, you know? And so I would put her on my website... And I would, you know, have her in a variety of poses. I would get some other moms that have committed murder.
And what do you think the audience for your website is going to think when they're looking at women that have murdered their children?
Well, here's the thing. They are not mass murderers. They're not serial murderers. They're not people that have gone and have had killed adults and slaughtered them up with a machete. They're not people that have gone with a machine gun. They killed a kid, and that's bad. But... it's not, okay, like they killed someone with a machete or machine gun.
But they killed a kid, okay? And what other ones are you talking about?
What other what?
What other mothers would be on this website murdering mothers I'd like to blank?
Well, there's some are very borderline. I mean, Diane Downs is really borderline. You'd have to really, I think you'd have to work on her. You'd have to really do some work, you know, to get to rehabilitate her because she's pretty... she was, I think, at one time probably pretty hot, you know, but now she's pretty nasty, and I say that with all due respect.
Well, I mean, you know, with all due respect, here's a woman that killed her kids, and at the same time you're talking about her being nasty. I don't know whose side I should be on here. I should be endorsing what you're saying or defending her, you know?
Well, if you want to be chivalrous, you know, be a gentleman about it, you know?
All right, if I were a gentleman about it, I'd say, why are you calling a woman nasty? By the same token, you want to put her on your website as a hot mom. You know, I think your business, sir, I don't know anybody that would want to visit your website.
Well, that's the whole thing. You don't know people. And I do. I know people. I know they lie. And
well, I can tell you this. I don't want you advertising on my show.
Well, unfortunately, I do need to advertise on your show. And it's not anything that I wish it was something that you had a choice in, but you don't. And
yes, I do have a choice in who advertises. What are you talking about? Yes, I do.
All I know is I need to advertise on your show. I need to have my website on your show. And I think it would be something that your audience would really enjoy to hear about Casey Anthony because she's got a good pair, she has a tight butt, and she is very sexy.
All right, you know, dude, you can love and dig whoever you want, and you can think whoever is hot, and you can do what you want. You can't force your way onto my show, okay?
I had a conversation with Mr. Hall.
Well, you can have all the conversations you want with David G. Hall. The point that we're making here is you got a website about murdering mothers that I'd like to F, and good luck getting anybody to visit it. I don't know anyone that would, you know.
A lot of dudes like me. You don't know what. Yeah, apparently you don't know anything about dudes and what dudes are. You know what dudes want to see. You know, a lot of dudes, a lot of young dudes, want to see it, and they want to see it again and again. You know.
And they want to see what again and again? Her.
If they could see that with no bra. Well, if they could see that with no bra.
If they could see that with no. I'll tell you something right now, Ace. Good luck getting inside that jail or anywhere where she's going to be to get the pictures, because where she's going. She ain't going to be taking any pictures for anybody ever again, you know?
I can assure you that I know ways about getting in.
No, you don't know ways about getting in, Mr. Norton. You're not going to. How are you going to get into a maximum security prison?
Well, you're pretty sure she's going to prison, huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Unless that jury and everybody in that courtroom is so freaking brain dead so stupid that they let that guy Baez talk him into anything. Oh, yeah.
I don't think so, Mr. Ann. I think I'll have an opportunity to take some pretty tasty pictures of her. And at that time, you know, our website's going to be good. And I think a lot of people want to see it, you know.
Well, we've got two issues at hand here. You got a website called Murdering Mothers I'd Like to F, and then you need to advertise on my show, and I don't want you anywhere near my show, and you say I don't have a say in that, and I think I do.
I have freedom of speech, okay? And
well, you have a freedom of speech. I have the right to refuse business.
Well, what about that one guy who advertised on a radio station in Kansas City, and he was calling black people all, you know, kind of, you know, jungle bunny and
Well, I don't know about that. That had to do with the election laws, okay? We'll take a break here. Our number is 877-876-Phil, 877-876-7445. Murdering Mothers I'd Like to F. In other words, double M MILF is what he calls it. Chris Norton joins us and is pretty sure that you, all of you out there would love to see Casey Anthony and see Casey Anthony having sex with him and see Casey Anthony nude and other women that have killed their kids. 877-876-PHIL. We'll find out more from Chris Norton when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, Chris Norton on the line with us here. You know, Chris, there was a victim in all of this, and it was Kaylee Anthony. Okay?
I understand that, Ms. Ray.
There was a victim in all of this. You want to put her mom on a website. A website that you call the Double M MILF site, the M&M MILF site. And we're going to look at her mom nude, or we're going to look at her mom because she's so hot, or we're going to look at this murdering woman, this Casey Anthony, because she's so sexy. And what about this child that she killed?
You know, Mr. Henry, I can tell you this right now, that it is an unfortunate thing. I can look at her because of my, and I don't know about any other band, but my own sexual energy is that even though I know she killed a kid, I still would, you know, have sex with her because that's how powerful the sex is. You understand what I'm saying? You know?
No, I hear what you're saying. I don't believe it. You're telling me that...
Well, you can believe it. I mean, what are you trying to say, that I don't have a strong sex drive?
Well, no. Look, dude, I don't care what you got. I'm saying to you that whether or not you have a strong sex drive, whether or not you're able to get it going for Casey Anthony, even though you know she murdered her child, is not the point.
Yes, it is the point, Mr. Henry, because there are other men out there who are going to have the same instinct. They don't have no sex drive like mine, which, and I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else, but I don't have, you know, a lot of guys don't have no sex drive as sexually strong as mine, is what I'm saying. Okay.
Yeah, okay, great. So you got a really powerful sex drive.
Yes, sir. And so other guys are going to have almost the same kind of sex drive, and they're going to say, I want to have sex with that. Okay?
And other guys are going to say they want to have sex with that, even though she killed a kid.
Yes, sir. And
well, do you feel that that's something that you should be promoting?
Mr. Henry, let me say one thing to you, Mr. Henry. You know, Mr. Henry...
My name is Hendry, by the way, Mr. Norton. I'm sorry.
What'd you say?
My name is Hendry, not Harry.
I thought it was Harry.
No, sir. It's Hendry.
Okay, I apologize. Mr. Hendry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Hendry, what my initial point was is that regardless of whether Casey Anthony killed a kid, that's not as bad as if she took an ass. And drove an ass into someone's head, you know.
And drove a what? What are you saying?
An ass.
An axe.
An axe?
Yes, sir. I don't know if you are familiar with a murder, what happened many, many years ago, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, the Lizzie Borden murder.
Yes, sir. Exactly. The Lizzie Borden murder. She took an ass. I think it goes something like Lizzie Borden took an ass, gave her father 40 whacks. And when she saw what she'd done, she buried the ass in her mom's head.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you know, sir, and I guess I could be a smartass here and ask you, are you going to get Lizzie Borden to pose nude for you, too?
Well, you know what, Mr. Renner? I've seen pictures of Lizzie Borden, and she was, to be honest with you, she was a piece of ass. You know,
she was a piece of ass, Lizzie Borden. Well, you know.
Yeah. Did you see the movie?
The movie was Elizabeth. I don't mean to yell at you. The movie was Elizabeth Montgomery, the actress. I don't know that Lizzie Borden looked like Elizabeth Montgomery, the actress.
My understanding was she looked an awful lot like her, yeah. And so my point is the following. If you say Lizzie Borden took an ass and gave her money and buried the ass in her mom's, you know, basically what she did do, Mr. Henry, if you've seen it, is she buried an ass in her mom's face. And
I said that was a brutal murder. I've seen the crime scene photos of the Lizzie Borden murder.
You have?
Yes, I have.
You actually saw the head?
Yeah, I did. I saw the picture of her father. You can't even make out his face. Okay? Her mother was laying face down on the floor. She got her skull crushed, but you can't even make out the face of her father. The axe just obliterated his face. Whoever killed that man was in a murderous rage. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joseph in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, Joseph.
Dude, you are a sicko. I don't know what your deal is, dude. You're wanting to glorify a murderer? Seriously?
No.
You need some help.
No. I'm just saying, dude, have you seen Casey Anthony?
No, I've seen her, but I don't care to.
Okay. You tell me she's not hot? Are you telling me she's not hot?
She's a murderer. I don't see how you know what dudes like.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of dudes. I'm a college student. I know.
Tell you what, why don't you hold the line for me here, Joseph? Hold the line. We'll be right back with you. We got to take a quick break. Joseph and Chris Norton are going to go at it here when we come back. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, but Lizzie Borden took an ass, right?
I know she took an axe.
And she.
We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Put the ass right now.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and we're back with Chris Norton from Norton Explodes Entertainment. We were talking about a website that he is advertising and wants to advertise on my show. And my understanding, we're expecting David Hall?
That is my understanding, too, Mr. Henry, only because you have resisted. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and by the way, sir, you have a segment. I know we have Joseph on the line here. Let me get him back up on the line. You have a segment or a section of your website called A Single Bag. What is that?
A Single Bag is Aileen Wuornos, who was a murderer, but she was... You'd put a bag on her head, is what I'm saying. Well, you do her. Now, I know that she's a murderer, and I know everything about that, but what I'm trying to say to you and to anybody, to forget about where they murder, would you do it?
No, I wouldn't touch her with you, with what you got, man. All right, here is Joseph. Go ahead, sir.
What's that mean?
Hey, Paul, dude, got a question for you. Are you a parent?
Yeah. What's that?
How the hell can you justify putting somebody who, a parent who murdered her own child? I'm a new father. My daughter is 3 weeks old, and I don't see how you can even justify what you're doing.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, man, I'm looking at it as a man. Okay, you're a parent, right? And you're married to a woman that you love, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What if you found out that your wife, like, you know, buried your kid, you know, out in the desert or something, you'd still be hot for her, right?
No, I wouldn't, because there are boundaries.
What?
There are certain
what are you talking about?
Cross.
You wouldn't, but no, I'm just talking about how hot your wife is. I'm assuming your wife's hot.
Somebody loses their hotness whenever they murder somebody.
What?
Yeah, you don't understand that?
just saying that my website would not be good for you. My website is for guys who have a hot, who have sexual drive.
The laws of
all right, thanks very much for your call. Thanks for your call, sir. That's driving me crazy, that phone line. Let's get to this again. What did you say?
I said my website. Is that guy there?
No, his phone line was cutting in and out.
Are you going to get it back?
No. What did you just say?
Well, what I said was, my website is for guys that have a strong sexual drive. That gentleman that I was talking to, I'm sure he's going to be a great father. I'm sure he's just, you know, everything's that he's a good man, but his sexuality is not the same as my sexuality, is what I'm saying. And
all right, so he doesn't have as strong a sex drive as you, and so therefore that means that he's what?
Well, that basically what that means is that he is, that naturally he is going to be not hot, you know, not hot for it.
You know, here's the thing, man. You're telling me and you're telling that guy.
You're all like, you're squeaking a little bit.
Hey, you know what? Hold on for a minute, because I know you have David G. Hall in the offing, which I really, really resent. And I wish Bud would have told me this.
I talked to a man that they told me to talk to named Bud Dickman.
And I wish you'd said something, Bud.
They told me to get Mr. Hall.
What I'm saying is this. Eileen Wuornos, you're telling me, is somebody, though, even though you put a bag over her head, you do her.
Well, I don't... God. Why? I don't think you're being fair, Mr.
I think you're sounding like an idiot, okay? I think you're sounding like an idiot.
I'm sounding like an idiot. If I say to you that Eileen Wuornos... I don't know, but Eileen Wuornos, if you... That's why we call it the single bag. And
Leslie Van Houten, Eileen Wuornos, and Susan Atkins, you all put in the single bag category, meaning you'd put a bag over their heads, but you'd still have sex with them.
Yes, sir. But I also put Rita Cosby in there, too.
And Rita Cosby?
Yeah. She was a reporter, and she had... Actually, that was not a single bagger. Excuse me. That was where I would definitely replace her butt with another woman's butt. There'd be some things I'd change out, but I'd keep her head.
And all right, let me, that sounds asinine.
Well, I'm just...
Just hold the line for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me from Pasadena now is David G. Hall, as we're going to get into this discussion here. David, you want me...
You know, I don't want to come on this program and constantly have this conversation. Now, Mr. Norton contacted our sales office today, and he said he had the M&M website. That's all I knew. And
you know it's not candy.
Say it again?
You know it's not the M&M candy.
I know that. You think I'm a blithering idiot? Oh, my God.
Try to explain.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Phil. We want to advertise M&Ms on your show. My God, I wish. But what we got is this gentleman, Mr. Norton.
Hold on. What does that mean, you wish?
I mean, I wish I had a big account like M&Ms and not your website with a bag over Eileen Wuornos' head.
Well, I could take the bag off.
No, I'm not asking you to take the bag off. I'm asking Mr. Henry, first of all, Phil, where do you get off turning down advertising? That's my question.
I'm turning down this website's advertising because I don't like what it does. It features a woman that murdered her daughter and other women that murdered. Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't think that it's... I don't like it. Okay?
Well, Phil, you know, beggars can't be choosers, all right?
Beggars can't be choosers. Look at, pal, you know, no matter how bad the economy is, I don't need to have a website advertising on this show that has Casey Anthony as a piece of ass and it's all the hot women. You heard what he said about Lizzie Borden, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought what he said about Lizzie Borden was very interesting. And, Chris, you were telling me...
If I could just say...
Go ahead.
The Lizzie Borden, I told Mr. Henry about it, and he totally rejected it. And I want to tell you that I came on in good faith when I told him that Lizzie Borden took an ass.
You've got a nasal or some, you have a stud allergy, right?
Yes, sir.
It sounds like you're saying ass.
Well, I know I've got an allergy, okay?
Yeah, you're saying she took an ass and gave her husband 40...
No, she didn't give her a husband. She wasn't married.
You got to listen. She wasn't married. She gave it to her father. So it sounds like she took an ass and put it in her father's, what you said.
Hey.
Yeah, you can't say that.
I'm not saying that.
But I don't really give a damn about the guy's allergy condition. What I'm saying is the following thing.
I thought that was your concern.
No, I don't give a damn. I don't care how he describes it. Are you going to be doing the commercial copy?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm telling you right now, Chris, that's not going to work out.
It's my money, it's my game, my ball, my game. You know, my game, my ball, my money. His game, it's his ball. So it's his game, and it's his ball. Those rules.
Okay, great. So in other words, I'm going to have copy. Can you read me some of the sample copy?
You got it, Chris. I've got just a couple of lines here, Mr. Harry. Okay, are you excited about a new world of sex? Are you excited about meeting some of the most dangerous women of the world? I better change that. In the world. Then come to Chris Norton and Norton's Explodes.
What's the name of your company again, sir?
Norton's Explodes. Norton Explodes. Don't you hear too good?
Go ahead.
God. Start again. Are you as excited about the world of sex as I am? This is an excellent opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of an exciting business of sex. It's the sexually charged MMM website featuring some of the most exciting and excellent mass murderers in history. But they're also a piece of ass.
See, right there, man, you got to change that.
Why? What do I do with that?
A piece of ass, dude? That's just crude, okay?
What does he change it to?
I don't know, man. I don't know what his advertising.
Change it to beautiful, they're exciting. Okay, so I'm going to say what? And this is your opportunity to be exposed to some of the most exciting and beautiful, exciting, that's what it is. Exciting women. Exciting women. This is the excellent women. And
you know what you need to do, man, is not use so many words with X in it, okay?
What are you talking about? Well, what the fact is that we have a xylophone player, okay?
You have a xylophone player.
What are you laughing at? You know, this is a guy trying to make a living.
What? Well, what the hell, man? Okay, go ahead.
We do. We have a xylophone player. When you go to the website, there's a xylophone. And I also mentioned the fact that I had a problem with Sanus.
Sanus?
You know, Phil, you laughing is like you standing there looking at a guy with one leg as he struggles to kick a field goal for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I would laugh at that.
How dare you?
What? Well, how dare I? Why would the Green Bay Packers send a one-legged man out there to kick a field goal?
You ever heard of Tom Dempsey? He had one foot, and he only used the one good foot he had.
Guess what, Jack? Tom Dempsey used the bad foot. That's what he kicked the field goal with.
Bull crap. That's a lie.
No, it ain't a lie. And I don't know how the hell it is I got on a Tom Dempsey while we're talking about Sanus.
That's the medication I got to take.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you excited about the world, Seth? Then join. Well, you made him nervous. I got to go back down and talk to him. You all right, Chris?
Not really. I mean, I'm thinking I'm just going to push the eject button on this whole project.
See what you did?
You know what? I'm glad. I hope I don't get this guy's business, and I hope I never hear from him again, okay?
The schedule will be on your show next week.
Thank you.
I told you.
You didn't tell me anything, man. We got a xylophone player. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up is our news and information hour. And don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have our news and information hour coming up in the next hour, 877-876-PHIL. We don't take any calls in our news and information hour, but, you can write that number down. You can tattoo it. You can keep it in an address book. For future reference, our website, philhenryshow.com, and if you're watching our Phil TV in streaming high-definition video right now, you can see the beautiful roiling El Pacifico behind us. We briefly had a look at Hollywood Boulevard. We used the EarthCam shot of Hollywood Boulevard on EarthCam.com, and if you are watching along with us, there it is right there. It looks like a busy night. Not too busy. It's a Friday night, as a matter of fact, and to be honest with you, it is a Friday night, right?
Yeah.
There's hardly anybody on that street. All right, James Whitey Bulger, or Bulger, what's his name?
Bulger.
James Whitey Bulger, his capture could cause a world of trouble inside the FBI. The ruthless Boston crime boss, who spent 16 years on the lam, is said to have boasted that he corrupted 6 FBI agents and more than 20 police officers. If he decides to talk, some of them could rue the day that he was caught. So here again, we see these comparisons between the...
Yeah, that movie The Departed, man, it pretty much had all this stuff in it.
Yeah, it's like we're it's like Martin Scorsese. I bet you anything that movie sees a revival of Rentals or whatever because of this story. What do you think about that, bud?
Yeah, I can look it up.
See what the rental is on The Departed, because I can tell you, with the capture of this guy, something tells me that the more people are going to want to look at that movie. They're holding their breath. They're wondering what he could say, said Robert Fitzpatrick, who's the former second-in-command of the Boston FBI office. The 81-year-old gangster was captured on Wednesday in Santa Monica. I said he was captured. I apologize. I said he was captured in San Diego. He wasn't. It was in Santa Monica, outside of his girlfriend's apartment. He apparently had been living for most of the time that he was a fugitive. He was right here in California, right under everybody's freaking nose. Just like Osama bin Laden, only in a fancier place.
Yeah, but he's not as bad as Osama bin Laden.
No, I'm just saying, as a fugitive, where everybody was looking all over. They were looking in Mexico, they were looking in Greece, they were looking all over this place. And apparently he was in this Santa Monica apartment for most of the 16 years he was on the run. He appeared Friday afternoon inside a heavily guarded federal courthouse in Boston to answer charges that he committed 19 murders. Now, you know that there is bail. They set bail for this guy, but he is not going near it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it, you know?
He don't want to have nobody shoot him.
Well, maybe. But the fact is, he doesn't want to have anything to do with the outside. They didn't post any bail. Bulger, wearing jeans and a white shirt under a white unbuttoned shirt, was brought into court in handcuffs, which were then removed. He looked tan and fit and walked with a slight hunch. He had back-to-back hearings for 2 indictments. Attorney Peter Krupp was appointed to represent Bulger on Friday, but Bulger asked that a public defender be appointed. Now, it says Attorney Peter Krupp was appointed to represent Bulger, but he wants a public defender. What does that mean?
I don't know. I think that Peter Krupp guy is somebody like the mafia hired, and they had like a mafia guy.
What do you mean a mafia guy?
You know, like a gangster guy.
Well, I don't know. But so is somebody that defended this guy before?
Yeah.
He ain't no mafia guy. Do you understand? This guy's he's an Irish guy.
No, I know that, but I mean, same thing.
Whatever. Okay, so anyway, the government objected, citing the $800,000 found in his apartment and family resources, including money from relatives. We don't want to put a public defender on the cuff, as they say, for a guy that's got all his dough. Forget it. We feel he has access to cash, said the prosecutor, Brian Kelly. In the second hearing, Magistrate John Marianne Bowler asked Bulger if he could pay for legal counsel. I could, if you give me my money, Bulger replied. The government is seeking to seize Bulger's assets, which prosecutors said included the cash and 30 guns found in the apartment. Prosecutors also asked that Bulger be held without bond. Bulger waived his right to detention hearing on Friday. You know what we need? What did this guy do? Why don't you get some history on this Whitey Bulger guy?
Hey, what do you want to know?
I want to know what he did. When I'm reading these stories, I know what happened. Some bum, some 81-year-old gangster got arrested, but people don't know who he is. People don't know what he did. People don't know what he represented. People don't know the fear that people had for this guy for so many years, the people he killed, the people that were extorted, et cetera, the drugs that he dealt. What was this guy's career? That's what I want to find out, bud. You, on it.
Right away, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Bulger's girlfriend, Catherine Elizabeth Craig, who was arrested with him, was scheduled to appear in court on charges of harboring a fugitive. Bulger, the former boss of the Winter Hill Gang, Boston's Irish mob, embroiled the FBI in scandal once before after he disappeared in 1995. It turned out that Bulger had been an FBI informant for decades, feeding the Bureau information on the rival New England Mafia. And he fled after a retired FBI agent tipped him off that he was about to be indicted. The retired agent, John Connolly Jr., was sent to prison for protecting Bulger. The FBI depicted Connolly as a rogue agent, But Bulger Associates described more widespread corruption in testimony at Connolly's trial and in lawsuits filed by the families of people allegedly killed by Bulger and his gang. After a series of hearings in the late 1990s, U.S. District Judge Mark Wolf found that more than a dozen FBI agents had broken the law or violated FBI regulations. Edward J. McKenzie, Jr., a former drug dealer and enforcer for Bulger, predicted that Bulger will disclose new details about FBI corruption and how agents protected him. Said Mr. McKenzie, Whitey was no fool. He knew he would get caught. I think he'll have more fun pulling all those skeletons out of the closet. I think he'll start talking and he'll start taking people down.
Wow.
A spokesman for the Boston FBI did not return calls seeking comment. In the past, the agency has said that a new generation of agents has replaced most or all of the agents who worked in Boston when Bulger was an informant. I think there's a very interesting thing going on there, and it has to do with the fact that the Irish mob, Whitey Bulger in particular, was used by the FBI to break apart what they saw was a more potent threat, and that was the New England Mafia.
Yeah, well, you know, how come they use an Irish guy because they're white, and Italian look like they're black?
I think it's more this. I think it's that the Irish have a long tradition not only in crime but also in law enforcement. And the Irish have, there were a lot of cops that went into cop work. A lot of Irish down through the years that became cops. And I think there's deeper roots in law enforcement among the Irish. And I think when it came to the Italians, maybe not so much the Italians, you're right. I think the Italians were seen as more alien because they didn't speak English. Because of that whole thing, you know.
Yeah, what Dennis Hopper called an eggplant.
An eggplant. Well, some of that, too. And so, yeah, so they probably picked and chose their battles, and they decided that, well, the Mafia was the number one target, so we know there's this Irish gang, so we'll go ahead and use this Irish gang. But, you know, just like the federal government dealing with guys like Noriega and Saddam Hussein, sooner or later, once they're done with you, they're going to flush you down the toilet. The thing that surprises me more than anything else is the naivete that a lot of people have. People say, look what we did to Saddam. Look what we did to Noriega. Why, he was dealing cocaine and we knew it. And Saddam was, yeah, we knew a lot of stuff. But those guys came in handy. And once they weren't handy anymore, we threw them overboard. Now they're sleeping about where Osama bin Laden's sleeping. Down there with the fishies. So here we have, I've got a whole list of things here that Whitey did. Man, maybe we'll get into it when we get into our next hour here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. And this is where you can listen to all of our archives. Go back many, many years, thousands and thousands of hours of archived Phil Hendry radio shows and a daily podcast. Listen to our show every single day delivered directly to your iPod. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. We'll be back with our news and information hour coming up next hour.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go places other talk shows wish they could but they can't, is yours for the asking. Or, if you'd like a little bit more, you can go to our website and get a backstage pass, which will afford you a visual. You can look at my ugly kisser right now as I sit here on the beach, right in front of the gorgeous El Pacifico behind me, the Channel Islands, where there was an earthquake about 2 weeks ago. We haven't heard our sea lions around here. We're very concerned. There's no sea lions.
Yeah, but they think they're still out there probably on an island.
But what the hell are they doing out on that island, man? They ought to be over here barking up a storm and, you know. But they ain't, man. And I think it has something to do with that earthquake. Sea lions get freaked out by earthquakes, noise, and fishermen.
Yeah, 30-odd-6.
And a 30-odd-6, yeah. Those sea lions and the fishermen, they're at odds with each other. Two fishermen were shot dead by a sea lion. I'm kidding.
No, it's the other way around.
I know that. All right. Now, when we last left you, usually we don't do this. We don't drag a topic from one hour to the next, but I'm fascinated with a couple of pieces of information that we have been able to get for you. We were talking about Whitey Bulger, and we were talking about the arrest of this gangster. Now, there is a significant interest in this because of the Martin Scorsese film. And I'll give you an example. I had a stinking hunch, so I asked Bud and Jason to look it up for me. And sure enough, the rentals of The Departed jumped fourfold the day after the arrest of Whitey Bulger, according to California-based Nash Information Service, which tracks movie sales. No numbers were given, but they quadrupled. And the reason is, people said, wow, this is about the Jack Nicholson, that movie's the same. Yes, basically. Now, the Departed film obviously takes a lot of liberties. In that film, the Costello character, the Whitey Bulger character, dies. In real life, he's still alive. But I, more to the point, asked the guys to compile for me a list of the crimes that this man had committed. Who the hell is this guy? Well, he was the leader of the so-called White Hill Gang, as we mentioned, or the Winter Hill Gang, and they cooperated with the FBI against the Italian Mafia in New England. That's why Whitey Bulger was an informant. He figured, well, if we can use these Irish against these Italians, we'll get rid of the Mafia. That's our number one target. And then once we do that, then we can turn around and stick the shank in Whitey, and he ain't going to be any the wiser, and he wasn't. You'd think for a guy that's, you know, lives by his wits, he'd be a little bit smarter.
Yeah, but maybe he's expecting it, and that's why he split.
Maybe. James Whitey Bulger has alleged to have been involved in the following killings, according to federal indictments. March and April of 1973... Michael Milano, Al Plummer, William O'Brien, James Leary, and Joseph Notarangeli, members of a rival gang led by Al Notarangeli. James O'Toole, a former associate of the Charlestown-based McLaughlin gang in December of 73. In February of 74, Al Notarangeli, leader of the rival gang. In October of 74, James Sousa, criminal associate in a botched robbery. November 1974, Paul McGonigal, member of the Mullins gang.
Well, they sound pretty Irish.
Well, they are Irish. And on and on and on the list goes, all the way up until early 1985, a woman by the name of Deborah Hussey, who was the stepdaughter of some other guy that he killed. So he's definitely a bad man, and that's the story. But that was a very interesting fact that the... And by the way, on Netflix, it's the number 4 rental on Netflix. On iTunes, the number 37 rental. It has jumped fourfold in sale, DVD sales. Just, I don't know. I don't know why that's, you know, it's just an interesting case of reality and art, I guess, mixing. I don't know who's going to come out on top or not.
Yeah, well, who do you think is going to, what difference does it make?
Maybe people want to look at the movie because they want to know more about this Whitey Bulger guy. But if they're looking at the movie to know more about Whitey Bulger, they ain't going to find out much more than what we just told you. Some of it's true and some of it's horse dung. So there you go. Second bombshell from Casey Anthony's mom. Ladder was left outside the pool. This Casey Anthony trial, man. Whether or not Chris Norton wants to have her on his website, hot, you know, mass murderer moms I'd like to
punch.
Casey Anthony's mother made another startling revelation on the witness stand Friday that the defense hopes strengthen their case. A ladder had been left leaning outside of the pool on the day defense attorneys say her granddaughter drowned. All right, what does that mean? For the second day in a row, the defense called Cindy Anthony, age 52, to testify. Her daughter faces multiple charges, including capital murder, aggravated child abuse, aggravated manslaughter of a child, and misleading law enforcement. Well, maybe what it means is the kid got in the pool and then somebody took the ladder out so the kid would drown. Defense attorney Jose Baez guided Cindy Anthony through a testimony, working hard to bolster the argument that Kaylee had drowned and was not murdered, as the prosecutors contend. Baez first mentioned the drowning during opening statements.
Yeah, let's say that was an accident, man.
Yeah, I know. It would have to be an accident if that's the scenario that they are constructing, that the ladder was left leaning out of the pool. What does that mean, man? What does that mean? It means the kid wasn't able to get out? I don't know. But if that's the case, then either somebody drowned the kid on purpose by taking the ladder off of the pool, or someone took the ladder off of the pool by mistake and the kid drowned. But if you think that the kid was drowned on purpose, you could do it a lot easier than taking the ladder out of the pool.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? You can get in the pool with the kid and you can drown the kid that way.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of this horse dung about, well, chloroform, and did she break the neck? Did she do that? Did she do this? She really wanted to kill the kid, unless she's dumber than she looks. You know, just because you're a psychopath, it don't mean you got brains. What it means is you ain't got a conscience. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're smart, and smart she ain't.
I mean, she was using, like, credit cards and everything, man. She was taking money from people.
Well, that's what I mean. She's not smart. Here's a chick that kills her daughter because she wants to be in the hot body contest, or she wants to have a life, or she wants this and she wants that. They're talking about motive. Now, what are the things, you know...
By the way, what's up with that Nancy Grace, man? She looks like she wants to tear someone's testicles off. Every time...
Well, you watch your language, please, but you're right. I don't know what's wrong with Nancy Grace, other than the fact that there's nothing wrong with Nancy Grace. She's just being dramatic, okay? But I'll tell you, that Nancy Grace, we were watching her day, and she's got five or six lawyers, and they're talking about this, and they're all... Now, I understand that you got to look at it like a lawyer, so I don't get that put out by these people speculating crazy stuff, because I think what they're doing is they're not necessarily saying, here's what could have happened. I think what they're saying, here's what these people may want to bring up or bring out or talk about. But they're bringing up all of this crazy crap about motive. This goes to motive. What's the motive? The motive is she didn't want the kid anymore so she could go out and have a life. What's the motive? What was Scott Peterson's motive?
Well, Scott Peterson wanted to tag that blonde.
Tag that blonde. Scott Peterson, he just wanted to be free of a wife and a kid. He didn't give a damn about that blonde, man. He would have dumped her ass as soon as he got tired of her. He just didn't want... He wanted to have freedom. Same thing with this.
Casey Anthony.
Yeah. And just, again, ladies and gentlemen, if I could just... Nobody really brings this home to you. I'm going to bring it home to you. I'm going to bring home to you what a psychopath is. Okay? Because they don't really talk about it. This is a horror movie. This is the opening scene to a horror movie. A woman gets out of a car, dressed to the nines, for a hot body contest in downtown Orlando at the Fusion nightclub. And she goes in, and she meets her friends, and she meets her boyfriends, and she meets the girls, and they have the hot body contest, and they dance the night away, and they do jello shots, and they're slamming all kinds of Jaeger shots, or whatever the hell it is they drink these days. And she, some dude picks her up. And she's, you know, making out with a cat at the bar, and they're making out on the dance floor, and finally she invites him back to her car, and they climb into the car, and they start kissing, and he says to her, "What in the hell is that stench?" And she's like, "What? What? Oh, that's his pizza." He goes, "Oh, my God!" And he's driven from the car in horror, because the stench is just overpowering. "Oh, it's his pizza," and she doesn't get it. And the camera pans back to the rotting corpse.
Cut it out, man.
All right, I'm sorry.
God, man.
Well, that's it, man. That's it. She's going to hot body contest. She's driving around. She's this, she's that, she's something else. And a bag of pork rinds, too. And meanwhile, she's got the corpse of her daughter that is decomposing in the back. And she's going off and having herself the time of her life, doing all kinds of stuff, stealing money from people, siphoning the money out of a bank account. I mean, the woman, you know, Jose Baez, God bless the guy, but I think this cat was born behind the ball, man. He was born, and it was 3rd and 15 when Jose Baez came into the world, you know?
Well, you got to hand it to the guy.
Hand it to the guy. You know, it's one thing to make your name with a case. It's another thing to say, you know what, I think I'll go ahead and start my career. I really want to start my notoriety off with a lost cause like this. There's no way, man, unless that jury is comprised of some of the stupidest human beings that God ever let live past the cradle. There's no way. There's no way you can't see it. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. God, sorry to have to put things so dramatically. Lloyd Bonafide is going to be up next to discuss his experience with a Nintendo game that they say the elderly, older people, are having great success with. You know this? Nintendo of America selling a lot of Wii remote games to elderly people. And Delta continues to face backlash over the partnership it has with Saudi Arabia Airlines, something that we have taken great exception to as well. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I need to ask my producer, Jason Rantz, that we are missing a name from this list. We are missing a name from this list. It's the Lloyd. Okay. 877-876-Phil. Let me get Lloyd on. Lloyd, you there?
Yes, sir.
I was just, I had a list of guests that we've had tonight, and we didn't have your name on our list here. How are you?
Well, I'm looking at Peter Falk, you know, the Columbo, and we love that so much, and we're watching an episode right now.
Very sad, huh?
It was very sad, and I think that Peter Falk was so wonderful in this program. I'm just so sorry.
Tell me, Mr. Bonafide, you have an issue here with Nintendo of America. And I don't know whether you are looking to sue them.
No, I'm not suing anyone. What I want is my money back, and I want to let senior citizens know what this company, under the guise of the creating of a game, which they say is healthy for a lot of seniors.
Now, well, they say the Wii games are healthy because of the what?
Because of the...
Yeah, hold on for a minute. You're missing a name on this list, and I want the name on the list. Okay? You see this list? The list you just sent me, man, with these names on it, okay? The list you just sent me with the names on it. All right. Apparently, I got
it. You got an idiot for a producer?
Some nights, yeah. So, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is that this I don't know, the game that I got was a game that they said would help me with my movement and the arthritis that I have. And now what it is a fishing. It's a fishing.
All right, so it's a virtual reality fishing game. What's it called, Hooked?
Yes, sir, it's Hooked.
Okay.
And,
yeah, I've got it here written about six times, and I don't need it another time. What I need, actually, is the name of the other... Well, so anyway, go ahead.
Well, so this game, Hooked, was this fishing game. Now, you use a Wii remote, okay? And I can't explain it to you, but it's not plugged into anything.
Okay.
It's just a remote that's out there in the open, in the air. And I was fishing with it. So naturally my hands are in the position of a fishing rod.
You're holding this Wii remote as if it were a fishing rod.
Yes. This was the advertisement, as well as said that you could fish.
Okay.
So I was with Flatty, my wife. And two other people we know, Roy and Jenna Nelson, who are both very good friends of ours. And they were there for dinner. They came into the den as I was using this game. And immediately Jenna turns and blushes. And Roy asks me what in the... And I can quote it. He says, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And I looked at my hands. And they were in the shape holding a fishing rod, going up and down and back and forth. And as God is my witness, I did not mean it.
You didn't mean what?
You don't know. Do you not understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying. No. You're talking about this game.
It's a virtual game, so you're holding onto a fictitious rod.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Hey, there he goes. Hey. Turn that down, will you, please, in the name of everything holy, turn it. If I have to see one more Columbo, I'm going to weep.
So you had your hands in a shape and...
Yeah. So I look like I'm sitting there holding a joystick. And why? Because Nintendo thinks it's pretty funny for an old guy to sit there with an imaginary rod going, ooh. Now, I called Bert Schaefer, and you don't know these people that I called. These are all important people. One of them's in the game business, believe it or not, but he started out years ago with Milton Bradley, you know.
Okay.
And I told them what had been done, and I told them what had happened to me and probably countless billions of seniors, and what on that evening, any given night, seniors all over America were sitting there, you know, sitting, and people are walking in on them like it's a joystick. And
all right, I understand, but beyond being embarrassed, what happened?
Beyond being embarrassed, what happened? This is a man's wife. His wife. You understand?
What I understand, Lloyd, is that a man's wife, this Roy and Gina, right?
Yes, very good friends of mine.
Okay. This lady walks in and sees you holding this simulated fishing rod in a manner that was embarrassing to you.
Yes, because I'm going, you know, up and down like you would if you had a fish, only I don't have a fish. Although, when she said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm holding my fish. And that's when she blushed.
I'm holding my fish?
Yes, because I thought I had a fish. And that's when Roy came in and said, may you burn, and I remember him saying, I'll send you to hell on a shutter.
I'll send you to hell on a shutter.
He was very angry, sir, yes. Very angry. Now, the question that I have is, if we take legal action, is it a mass action lawsuit? And I don't want to do a massive one.
No, I think they call it class action.
They don't. They call it massive. They call it massive.
No, they do not. They call it class action.
You know what they call it when they sue you? Ass action. Because they're taking action against an ass. Now, I'm telling you, Mr. Henry.
Fine. Whatever you want to say.
All right. Now, I have this man's wife who walked in and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm grappling with my fish. She thought it meant something else. The way my hands were positioned, one can understand why she did think it meant something else. And yet, through it all, I tried to maintain my dignity. And when Roy said to me, I hope you die, and turned around and left, that's when I knew I'd been had by Nintendo of America. And so I ask any senior tonight listening to your broadcast, or your podcast, or any highlight film or reel, or any reproduction.
All right, I understand. Anybody that hears this, join you in your massive action lawsuit against Nintendo.
Yes, sir, but specifically against the game called Hook. Because like the other activity she thought I was engaged in, you can get hooked. But you'll only get hooked into a lawsuit as you're trying to squeeze the fish.
I understand. Good luck with that.
All right. Now, I'm going to get back. I'm still playing the game because I enjoy it so very much.
I understand that. I'll take a break, all right, Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Delta Airlines, and their partnership with Saudi Arabia coming up.
Phil Henry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, welcome back here from the El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, Lloyd Bonafide, I apologize that the Nintendo game, you know.
What are you talking about? It made him look like he's. Yeah, I thought he had a joystick.
All right, we don't have to get specific, but that poor old guy was sitting there with his fly rod, if you'll pardon the expression, and good luck with that, Lloyd. 877-876-PHIL is our number, as well as philhenryshow.com is our website. Now, last night we talked about this, because this is the kind of thing that interests us here on the Phil Henry Show. Amid growing outrage, lawmaker wants federal probe into Delta-Saudi agreement. Now, let me ask you guys a question as reasonable human beings, as I know you all are. And no, I don't have the Delta Airlines audio. So we're all in a heap here, man.
What?
I don't know, man. People send me audio. I pull it out of the file, and now all of a sudden I don't have any Delta Airlines audio. So I don't know what anybody's talking to me about. I downloaded stories this afternoon. I took all the audio out of those stories. I took all the... I can tell you I did, because I looked straight at it, and everything had been downloaded. And now, for some reason, I don't have Delta Airlines audio. When was that sent, bud?
I sent that audio. What a story's what I sent you.
You sent that audio with the stories what you sent me. I got news for you, Ace. The only audio you sent me were three clips of parents allow teen sex. And if I see that story one more time, I'm really going to come unglued. I haven't got any audio. Let me look here. Well, there it is. What happened?
You didn't reboot it, you idiot.
Idiot, huh?
You should have said that. Well, you are, man. Yelling at everybody.
I rebooted it, and it still didn't boot.
Yeah, sure.
In any event, oh, here it is. Here's the Delta Air. I'm sorry, bud. I'm sorry I yelled at you.
You didn't yell at me.
A U.S. lawmaker wants the Federal Aviation Administration to investigate allegations that Delta Airlines has entered into agreement with Saudi Arabia that could prohibit American Jews from flying into the country, a charge the airline and the Saudi government vigorously dispute. The controversy comes just 3 weeks after U.S. soldiers returning from Afghanistan posted a YouTube video complaining that they had to pay Delta Airlines $2,800 out of pocket to check extra bags, prompting an onslaught of online comments critical of Delta and at least one boycott effort. Delta has since changed their baggage policies for active duty soldiers. Can you imagine that? That's about as stupid as that Starbucks employee who charged those firefighters for water the morning of 9/11. When all hell had broken loose, when there's stuff burning, people jumping out of buildings, all hell has broken loose, and at Starbucks, some dumbass kid says, that'll be $2 for the water. Now here's Delta Airlines, $2,800 these guys have got to charge for their bags. You guys haven't got the sense God gave a billy goat, to quote Ossie Davis in the wonderful film Do the Right Thing. All right. I request your investigation into this matter to determine whether Delta Airlines violated U.S. law or regulation and to ensure no U.S. citizen is denied their right to fly solely on the basis of their religion, Senator Mark Kirk wrote in a letter to the head of the FAA. The call for an investigation came as Delta responded to outrage about a partnership with the sheet wearers over there, Saudi Arabian Airlines and its Sky Team Network, which includes 14 other airlines, including Air France, KLM, and Deutschland Überalles. No, I'm kidding. Just Air France and KLM. Delta strongly refuted allegations it was discriminating against Jews or Christians, explaining, now listen to this, and this is the dishonest, this is the despicable dishonesty of Delta Airlines, explaining they're required to follow all applicable laws governing entry into every country we serve. Delta does not discriminate, nor do we condone discrimination against any of our customers in regards to race, nationality, religion, or gender, said spokesman Trevor Barnstetter. Delta released a statement explaining it's trying to grow its business in the Middle East. The partnership with Saudi is a strategy of that, is a part of that strategy. Now, listen to the dishonesty. Visa requirements or other possible government travel restrictions to enter any country are dictated by that nation's government, not the national airlines or foreign carriers. These requirements apply to anyone entering the country, either by land or by sea. Now, here is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why Delta can say what they say. In order that you travel to Saudi Arabia, you must apply for a visa at one of their consulates, at one of their embassies. In other words, you don't get it stamped right there as you come into the country. Most of us, you and I, can take a passport and we can go to Mexico, we can go to France, we can go to England. We don't have to go to the consulate first to get the visa. But because Saudi Arabia is so backward and such a despicable example of a country where women can't walk around unchaperoned, I mean, you know, it cracks me up, man. I would love to see how that stuff would go over here for like a 24-hour period. They don't allow Jews, and they don't allow Israelis, and they don't let women walk around unchaperoned, etc., etc. So, in order for you to travel to Saudi Arabia, you have to go into one of their consulates or go into their embassy and say, hi, I'd like a visa to travel to your country.
Are you a Jew?
Yes.
Well, you don't get, you see?
Sorry, we don't give you Jews any right to travel to our country. So Delta Airlines doesn't have to get its hands dirty. Delta Airlines can say, technically, we're not discriminating against anybody. We'll let Jews get on our airplane, sure. Oh, yeah. And we'll let, we don't know. We don't keep anybody off the aircraft. But what they know is that the Saudis have already done the screening process for them so that the Delta Airlines people, clean as a baby's ass, can allow anybody on the aircraft. We didn't discriminate. Well, no, because the Saudis kept all the Jews back behind the chicken wire over there at the consulate. The fact of the matter is, Delta, that this country you have partnered with discriminates against human beings based upon their ethnicity and their religion. They discriminate specifically against human beings based upon their ethnicity. This has got nothing to do with religion. They don't want Jews, and I don't give a damn if it's a Jew that's decided to be baptized a Southern Baptist. I don't care if it's a Jew that became Catholic. I don't care if it's a Jew that mixes in with all of the, you know, all of the mariachis at the local Mercado, man, and is playing banjo on the weekends. No Jews. So Delta can say with honesty, why, we didn't do anything wrong. It's the Saudis. But they have partnered in with Saudi Arabia and with the Saudi Arabian Airlines, a country and an airline that will not let Jews travel on their aircraft or in their country. Delta, much like companies in the 30s, finds a convenient logic and explanation. You got any Jews flying on your plane to Saudi Arabia today, Delta Airlines? I don't know. Sure you do. Ask them. Any Jews on your aircraft going to Saudi Arabia today, Delta Airlines? Do you know? I don't know. Yes, you do. You know what the visa requirements are of the Saudi Arabians. You know what the you know who they're letting in and who they're not letting in. Don't lie to me. Any Jews on your airplane today, Delta Airlines? Why, that's controlled by the Saudi Arabians. Are there any Jews on your airplane? If you were honest, which you're not, you'd say, hell no. You know full damn well they ain't going to let any Jews into Saudi Arabia, and that means there's none on your aircraft. Now, here's the real question. If you knew that there were, what would you do? What would Delta Airlines do if they found out there was a Jew on board their aircraft, somehow got through the screening process? Huh? What would you do, Delta? When they dragged the person away at the gate, what would you do? Would you consider that person to be a stowaway? Would you consider that person to be a criminal? Would you consider that person to be, had they duped you, Delta Airlines, as well as Saudi Arabia? Would you concur with the Saudi officials? Would you applaud them? Would you say, well, that's their job, as they dragged that person away or otherwise incarcerated them or interrogated them more likely because they're wondering, what the hell are you doing in our country? You must be some agent of the Zionists. Let's take them away and interrogate them, Saudi Arabian style. All right, let's listen to some of the conversation here. This is Jordan Sicolo of the right-leaning American... Wow, whatever that was. Let me turn that off. Of the right-leaning American Center for Law and Justice. And he told CNBC today that he's not happy with Delta's tacit acceptance of of discrimination.
Just look at the Delta statement. Nowhere did they say that any of the what they're calling rumors aren't true about Jews, about Bibles being brought on, about women, about Israelis. They never say it's not true. They say it's not our policies. But by letting Saudi Arabian Airlines become part of this alliance, they're going to be enforcing those policies. You've already got U.S. Senator Kirk saying that the FAA needs to look at this now. And the most important part is that Delta Airlines was not forced to do this. This was a voluntary decision to become allied with an airline and a country that discriminates on the basis of race, religion, and gender.
Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly, though, told CNBC the controversy will blow over.
You know, first of all, in terms of will they suffer from this, look, airlines overcome worse publicity all the time, you know, up to and including, unfortunately, sometimes accidents. Think about it. A couple weeks ago, we had Delta, that controversy with charging for military bags. That blew over. This will blow over, too. Air travelers choose airlines based more than anything else on schedules and fares.
Well, that guy's wrong. He's wrong. The charging for bags blows over because they rectified the situation. They said, oh, we're sorry. It was one of those policies that oftentimes is offensive and must be changed. Once your attention is directed to it, you're charging people for bags that are whatever they described it as, I don't know, extra baggage or something. And so they charge and they realize, oh, my goodness, these are soldiers. And these men have complained about it, and we shouldn't be doing that. And there's a lot of bad publicity, and oh my goodness gracious, let's get on it. And it changed it. Now, this guy says that this will blow over. Well, the thing blew over with the bags because they corrected the problem. Seth, this ain't going to blow over because they ain't going to correct the problem. This is going to continue. There will be groups, there will be American Jewish groups, there will be Israeli groups, there will be people like Phil Hendry every chance I get, because I just like to stir up the crap when I can, not because I do it in any vindictive way, and I'm not trying to just in any mercenary fashion. No, because this is an issue that's important. This is a throwback, man. This is going back to the days when, you know, once again, we got a problem with Jews, okay? And we're not letting them in here, not letting them in there, not letting them in somewhere else. If these were black people, and we keep using the analogy because it's the only thing that makes people understand, but if Saudi Arabia said, I'm sorry, we're not letting any blacks in here, no African Americans, that is, we'll let black people from Africa, and we'll let black people, say, from, oh, I don't know, France or Britain, but America, African Americans, no, we don't let them in. Why is that? Well, because we have a problem with the kind of Islam that they practice. We find it patently offensive, Nation of Islam. How about that? And so as a result of that, no African Americans. Do you think somebody would be saying something about it? Do you think that there would be a huge outcry? Of course there would. Well, there's going to be a huge outcry about this. It'll continue. And Delta Airlines is going to be none the... I don't know. I don't think they'll be. I don't think this has enhanced their public image at all.
I don't get what you said about the blacks.
Never mind, bud. Okay.
You're talking about like the Nation of Islam.
I'm saying that the Nation of Islam doesn't practice any kind of Islam that's the same as the Islam they practice over there.
What's different?
All kinds of stuff.
They got that one big-headed guy and stuff. Oh yeah, that.
The one big-headed guy. All right, 877-876-PHIL, and you'll never guess what Lakers forward Ron Artest is legally changing his name to. However, those of us who are old enough remember when a guy named Lloyd Free, who played basketball in the NBA, changed his name to something. It's eerily similar. We'll find out what Ron Artest is changing his name to and what Lloyd Free changed his name to when we come back almost 30, 40 years apart here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a couple of minutes here. This is tomorrow night, or tonight now as it is. This is a Saturday. Will be our KFI local show, KFI Radio in Los Angeles show. You can watch that on our live streaming video at our website. But this is our last national show for a week as I travel to Toronto, Canada, for a family reunion, and I'm going to update my travels on our website at philhenryshow.com, so make sure you follow our travel diary starting Sunday as I begin to, you know, travel, sojourn back to north of the border. Ron Artest has legally changed his name to Meta World Peace. L.A. Laker forward Ron Artest wants to change his name to Meta World Peace, which he says will have the greatest global impact. Artest's attorney filed a petition in Los Angeles Superior Court on Thursday seeking the change. The 31-year-old NBA star was born Ronald William Artest Jr. But in the court documents, Artest cites personal reasons for wanting to make the change. On August the 26th, court date was set to reconsider the petition. The petition filing was first reported by celebrity website TMZ. Artest is hoping that once the name change is complete, he will show off his new name, his new last name, as Peace on the back of his jersey next season. Meta is said to be a Buddhist term defined as a strong wish for the welfare and the happiness of others. It's very cool.
Yeah. How come black people already change their name? Why, you think it's a slave name and everything?
Why don't you shut up, man? And hold on for a minute. Will you mind if I say this?
Yeah, but they're always doing it.
Why don't you shut up? Starting a fight.
Yeah, man, that's why we do it. Don't want no slave name.
Yeah, why don't you change your name?
I don't want to. I don't care.
Yeah? You mean you want to be Robert Leonard? Why don't you change your name to Buddha, 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 Buddha?
All right, easy. What do you keep bugging him for?
I just wonder why black folks always change their name.
Because we don't want no slave name.
All right. You want a slave name. Artest is hoping that once the name change is complete, he'll show off his... What do you keep bugging him for, man? I'm going to smack you.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but you're always like... starting a fight. It brought a smile to my face, Laker general manager Mitch Kupchak said of Artest's planned name change.
Talk about a guy that ought to change his name.
Who?
Kupchak.
Anyway... It brought a smile to my face, said Laker general manager Mitch Kupchak, said of Artest's planned name change. It's been done before, so other than that, I really don't have a comment. The GM was then asked if he had a preference as to whether the back of Artest's jersey says peace or world peace next season. I'm an advocate of world peace, Kupchak quipped. Artest's career has been filled with ups and downs. He helped the Lakers win the NBA championship a year ago, and in April he received an award for outstanding service and dedication to the community. He has testified before Congress to support mental health legislation. But he may be best known for triggering the most notorious brawl in NBA history when he jumped into the stands and attacked a fan while playing for the Indiana Pacers. In November 2004, he was suspended for the rest of that season. Artest would be the first NBA player to change his name. We mentioned Lloyd Bernard Free, who played in the league from 1975 to 1988, had his first name legally changed to World in 1981. A friend had given him the nickname because of his 44-inch vertical leaps and his 360-degree dunks. So his name became World B Free.
That's cool.
Anyway, World B Free, by the way, played with the Cleveland Cavs, the Golden State Warriors, the San Diego Clippers, the Sixers. He also played in the USBL with the Miami Tropics and went on to play with the Houston Rockets for a season as well at the end of his career. In the National Football League, Cincinnati Bengals star Chad Johnson legally changed his last name to Ocho Cinco in August 2008. That means 8-5 in Spanish.
What's that mean?
I guess that's his number. I don't know.
Look up what his number is.
Who, me?
Yeah.
All right.
See if it's 85. You know, that's funny, man. I missed that. And I'm watching the NFL, I guess, last year or maybe the year before, and I hear this guy, Chad Ochocinco. Who the hell is Chad Ochocinco? Who the hell is that? I had no idea. And I never really missed Chad Johnson because I'm not that big of a Bengal fan anyway, but it's ironic that I wouldn't hear in his name anymore, only about the exploits and the marvelousness of this cat, Chad Ochocinco, and how great a wide receiver he was. And I never even heard of this dude in college.
You mean you're telling me you didn't know he changed his name?
No, I didn't know he changed his name. What the hell, man? So there you go, dude.
Well, I'll look it up, man. It may take a while.
Great. Well, I'm guessing that his number is 85. All right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical... What? It is 85? World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director Dan Northcraft. Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty are our associate producers. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Tune in tonight on our website for our Phil TV and HD video cast of our KFI show and, of course, the KFI in Los Angeles. We'll see you guys a week from Tuesday following the 4th. Have a wonderful week and have a great 4th of July. And we'll see you. I'm going to be in Canada for Canada Day.
Whoopee!
Okay, well, it's something. There's a barbecue and booze. That's all I care about.
Phil Hendry.